another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for February 11th, 2019, with Scott and Brian. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. This is the Boop Show, episode 201. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian. Dancing over there. What's going on?
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm okay. Oh, now you're quiet. That's weird. Let me turn you up.
Hey, but really, what?
No, you got you. I got you. I got lots of room for you. Don't you worry.
Okay. Turn me up. Turn me up. Turn me up.
Now you're turned. Now you're turned up. Isn't that a thing? Turned down for what?
Yeah, it was about 6 years ago. Gee, Scott.
I know. I got to get with the times.
Turned down
for what? I just remember that was a prominent thing you would hear on like Vines all the time. Remember the heyday of Vine? Vine was a heyday good time, man. That was a fun little time in social media.
It is an amazing time. And you could still go to YouTube and reminisce on the Vine videos. People still love them. It's just a shame that the format just couldn't last.
No, it's because freaking Twitter closed it down. It could have lasted just fine. Yeah. They were just like, we'll buy this and then we'll throw it away. Sorry, everybody.
Right.
We're dinks.
6 seconds of video. It's out of here. Nobody needs this crap.
Here's the thing. I knew back in the day, I knew things were getting weird because a lot of people become famous on the platform and then were demanding all sorts of additional exposure and money. And Twitter's like, nah, you can go somewhere else. And I don't necessarily
blame them. We like doing other things.
Yeah. But yeah, there were people called Vine stars.
Yeah, I was into the Vine. I did my share of the Vines.
I did too. Absolutely. I liked it. It was a creative format, and I had a good time with it. But it got overrun with weirdos.
You could do it. You can still do it and just post it to YouTube. But people will be very pissed.
Yeah.
6 seconds.
Sidian makes a good point. He says Vine top loaded the platform, and then top loaded rebelled. He's totally right. The thing is, they kind of came out of it organically. They didn't hire a bunch of famous people for it. They just were there. They weren't famous before. They just started doing wacky stuff, became famous, then got a little full of themselves, and then they weighed a lot virtually, and they started to weigh down the platform. All right, that's all we're going to say about Vine. F Vine, we're not talking about it ever again. Instead, I got some nose air out of you that time. I heard a little nose air. Yeah, I liked that. Oh. Brian's still using his headset because he's not back in his space yet.
I'm still. If the weather would just cooperate, I could get back into my office and I could make it up right. But I can't get in there.
I understand. There's mold and problems and things.
No, all that's taken care of.
Oh, it's good now.
Now I just got to get everything back in there.
Oh,
and
right.
Set up.
All right. Well, get your ass on it. I don't care how cold it is or how wet it is. Get out there.
Suck it.
Thanks for being here, everybody. We appreciate it. We're going to talk about video games. I'm going to start things off today with the runaway hit. In fact, breaking news just now, 25 million players playing Apex Legends.
Wow.
This is the Respawn Entertainment /EA published thing that just came out like a week ago.
Yeah.
And a reminder that, and I'm sure a lot of people already know this, we're not telling them something they don't know, but Apex Legends was kind of out of the blue. There was no big lead up, no E3 announcements. Everyone assumed Respawn was working on either a follow up to Titanfall, which would be 3 at this point, or they were perhaps working on the Star Wars game that we now know has been canceled. But, you know, we figured they were up to something, but nobody quite knew what. Now, there were rumors floating around that they had some kind of multiplayer thing going, but it was really vague. And about 3 or 4 days before this launch, there started to be talk. And it started to sound legit. And everybody went, oh, really? They're just going to come right out with it. A lot of people said, well, that's fine, but I don't think you're going to capture much of the market with this thing. It's a battle royale game, and you know, that's a complicated, busy space. And right now, Fortnite's kind of owning it, and everybody else kind of not so much, and nonetheless, that got released, and they are now at 25 million players. It is a free-to-play game, so, you know, those numbers go up faster the less money your thing costs. But that's like Fortnite, so, you know, whatever. A pretty good dent in the market, I would say. And where this is all leading me is I started to play the game the day it came out. And I've probably said here a couple of times, I'll just reiterate it. The Battle Royale genre has not had a game that I've really liked yet. I've had some fun with Battlegrounds, PUBG. I had fun for about 30 seconds in Fortnite, and then I hated it. I don't ever want to play Fortnite again. I hate it. And I know, and you guys all know why. I don't like the building. There's a lot of stuff I don't like about Fortnite, but the building, I don't think the guns are great. There's a lot of things I don't like about it. I think the blackout mode from Call of Duty 4 is good. I like it a lot. Nothing wrong with blackout. This game comes on the heels of all of those. And again, I would play them for a bit and then kind of go, yeah, I think I'm good. I'm going to try something else for a while. This, I think they might have got the right one for me. I think they finally did it. And it's a combination of things, kind of hard to put your finger on it, but there are some really robust, interesting systems at play here. And I would also say that just at its core, the game is a bit like Overwatch went out on a date.
Right.
With, let's say it went on a date with Battle Royale in general, or let's say Fortnite, because there's some Fortnite comparisons to be made. But let's say those games went out on a date, and they also brought along with them, Titanfall and some friend who's called Call of Duty, and brought in a few other little pieces here and there, and basically created something better than the sum of the parts. I think this is a really, really well thought out, complete experience. I think they've got plenty of room to grow, but as far as a hitting the ground running with a finished, ready to go BR game that is polished and has a ton of systems in it, lots of quality of life improvements, things that all these games have needed and we maybe just didn't know. I like common squad jumps. I like the way that the loot, everything is color coordinated. I know there's some of that in Fortnite. I like that the guns are categorized the way that they are. The ping system is the best game, the best ping system I've seen almost any video game. Probably any video game. System. Yeah, certainly the best I've seen in a shooter, if not everything. I think Heroes of the Storm has a pretty good MOBA ping system. I can't speak for the other two because I really don't play them, but that being Dota 2 and League, but it's really intuitive. It's adaptive. Point at an object and ping it, and it tells your team, hey, there's some armor over here, level 2, come get it. If you're pointing at a gun, it'll say what that gun is and then mark it on their map so they know where to go. If you've seen a bad guy, you hit the F key, and wherever you've mapped it, mine's on F, automatically marks that there's a bad dude, and they can all see it. You really don't have to voice talk to anybody. I think the best teams are going to talk, but if you're just getting in to have a fun time, you can ping your way through a match and never feel like you weren't in communication. Super strong. Not much else to say, because the rest of it is what you think it is. It's Battle Royale. It's a big map. You go in. In this case, it's 60 players or a total of... wait a minute. What's 60 divided by 3? Help me.
60 divided by 3 would be 20.
20.
Scott.
20, 20 teams. Sorry. 20 squads of 3. And... if I had only one complaint, it would be cool if it was 4, because a lot of times I run with 4 people total a lot.
Yeah, 4 feels a lot more comfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And just because you have more friends, or whatever. But even then, despite that, it just feels good. I'm not great at it. I have yet to win a game. I've gotten to second place about 5 times. That feels good. It'd feel better if I won. A couple times with randos, sometimes with friends. And I just think it feels really good. And I'm not great at it. I wish I was better at it. I think I'm I don't know what. My shooter skills were really on point in the Quake and Unreal days. And I feel like they've been squandered a bit. So when I come in here and you got these keyboard mouse warrior wizards who just destroy your soul and they're like 14 years old, like it's a little disheartening.
Right.
The game is easier to win at on console, or I should say easier to compete with, I think, because everyone's limited to controller controls. And I think that that's a factor that can maybe help some players if that's the platform they're on. But you can get this right now. It's free to play. It's on PC. It's on Xbox, PS4, all that.
Xbox One, yep.
Maybe eventually Switch. I don't know. I have no idea if this game will play on Switch or not, but... It's here's the funny thing, Brian. I don't know if you knew this, but it uses the Source Engine.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed when it fired up. Yeah.
Originally the Source Engine, I should say, because the Respawn team have done all sorts of stuff to Source. I mean, it's it's probably barely a shadow of what it used to be, but there are parts of it where I, when I'm running around or certain architectural stuff, I'll go, oh, that's very Half-Life 2. And I don't mean in like an old way. I mean, like stylistically it has, I don't know, has the feel of like an old Valve shooter. But anyway, it's awesome. And the characters are fun. I purchased one of them. There's only two that are for purchase. The rest are just playable. The future of that looks like they'll introduce new heroes and you'll pay, well, you'll either use in-game currency you've earned or you'll use gold, which I went and bought $10 worth today and just bought my guy that I wanted. It's really cool though. Now I know you had a chance to mess. What do you think?
Yeah, I had pretty much the same impression you got. I didn't get much past the tutorial. I downloaded it both on the Xbox One and the PS4. And I actually ended up playing it on the PS4 just because the way time's worked out. But I walked through the tutorial, felt really good there. I started to play, and that was about as far as I got. But it felt really good, really good. And I really did like the ping system, same as you. It seemed very fluid, very natural, even on the controller. I suppose you did it on the keyboard because you said you were hitting your F key or you mapped your F key. So, yeah, it worked really well, the controller, for me.
They've mapped that out. They've mapped that stuff really well to the controller, I think.
Right. Yeah. I will say one thing. This isn't a comment on the game, but it took almost four times as long to download on the PS4 than it did on my Xbox. I don't know why.
Because PlayStation Network has always had horrible download times.
Throttling or something? Because I was just amazed because it didn't take, I think it was only like 25 gigs or something. It was pretty small in comparison to what I usually download.
Right.
And it didn't take no time on the Xbox. But then when I went over to the PS4, I was like,
Have you ever had a fast, have you ever had a fast download on PlayStation Network? I never have. It's always bad.
I just thought it was my internet connection until I got
Sony,
the Xbox.
This is
One.
Sony's biggest mistake, and I don't know why they've just let it slide. Probably because they're in first and they don't care. But their speeds for PSN are hideous. They've always been bad. I can download a game on Steam in no time. Like I had this game in 4 minutes on the PC.
Right.
The X or the PlayStation version took, I think I let it go overnight because it was so bad.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I downloaded another game that was 100 gigabytes, I guess, earlier in the week, and I was amazed that I turned it on, I left for a little while, came back, and it was done because I was so used to everything that I downloaded on the PlayStation. It's like, yeah, that's going to be 2 days. Mm-hmm, good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super frustrating because, I don't know, Sony's got the, I mean, they certainly have the money for the infrastructure, but they've always just had this slow-ass network, and downloading their 48 gigabyte God of War game. No one ain't got no time for that, son.
Got no time for it.
Yeah,
what are you doing to me?
It sucks. But yeah.
But other than that, but back to Apex. Yeah, I really enjoy what I saw, and I look forward to playing. And I hope I can be the one of the three in your squad someday.
We'll get your PC version on, and we'll play.
That's I could totally do that.
I ain't playing on an old console. That's for jerks. Just kidding.
It's now fine. At this point, I'm like, man, I really could use some crossplay or some kind of mutual package system where I wouldn't have to re-download it again for the third time.
Well, they'll probably end up having some kind of unified account thing to your EA Origin stuff. I don't know. Actually, maybe they already do. I don't actually know. But the, they may have run into that same problem Fortnite had with Sony and, Microsoft having different plans for crossplay or whatever. The only thing I have only one complaint about this game. One.
One.
And only one. Well, I had a couple of bugs, but they seem to be fixed now. So I think that's not an issue anymore. It's a brand new game. I think, whatever. It's a pretty good launch for what it is. But my biggest complaint is the name is stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, it took me like
Apex
Legends. I probably miscalled it like at least a good five times last week. Yeah. I'm like, that Atlas game, what was it again?
No, Apex. Yeah, Apex sounds like a telemarketing company.
Yeah, like and PUBG's not the greatest name, but once you understand it, you're like, okay, and you get stuck in your head. Fortnite, that's a great name.
It's a great
name. Except for people say it wrong.
Well,
but,
plus Fortnite was never... Fortnite used to be about building forts and making it through the night.
Right.
So even though they had to change, it was still a catchy name that stuck on, right?
Right.
Even Blackout, the Call of Duty Blackout is a great name. It fits. this thing, Apex Legends, is just a it's still not I mean, I'll say it and I'll say, hey, we're playing Apex later. It sounds stupid. It's a dumb name. It's dumb. Respawn, you could have done better with the name. It didn't have to be Titanfall Legends. It didn't have to, you know, you don't have to tie it to some other IP, but Apex, really? Apex. Apex.
Apex.
It's a stupid, stupid name. But game, real good. And people are playing it like crazy. Yesterday, there were every major streamer was playing it. I know some of them in the first week got paid to stream it, but yeah, a lot of them stuck around because they like it. And I don't blame them. I think this is actually a good video game. This isn't just some stunt. But welcome to the modern era of how people promote video games.
Yeah, they brought their A game this time around.
Yeah, they did. And they did it out of nowhere, like poof, out of nowhere. Like, what a big, weird shock it is. And a lot of people are like, what does this mean for Anthem? It's the same company. What's EA going to do? They're going to compete with themselves. No, they're not. Anthem is not this game. Anthem is a multiplayer co-op game. This is a player versus player 100% video game. So that's like saying, what's, you know, I'm trying to think of another example. It's like
it's a pretty tight one, but yeah, I know what you mean. It does. Yeah, I'm with you.
So you shoot.
I'm excited about both. One's free.
Yeah, but also they're just not the same game. It's like,
no, they're not. One's more of is a lot more core story. You know, you get a little chance to do a little bit of adventuring.
Yeah, and you also have persistent characters, and you get loot. And when you're done with this game, you start over. It's not even the same genre.
Yeah.
I mean, you shoot stuff, sure, but it's first person versus third person. There's a million differences. So I don't know why people are making that comparison, other than the problem the whole industry is having where people want to play Battle Royale games and not play other games. I get that. But this isn't competing for a genre spot. This is just competing for the hearts and minds of people's free time.
Can they just go ahead and shut up with the whole Fortnite killer? Don't do that. I hate when video games of a certain type will come out and go, oh, no, it's the such and such killer.
Yeah, I hate that, too. Not a fan.
There's plenty of room, because I'm telling you, Fortnite really plays well to a younger audience. Not that older people don't play it, but I'm telling you, younger people really like it. And I think this Apex game is going to fit some of us older people, and I think it's a good fit.
Well, yes. I think lots of kids will play it, too. I can tell you right now that my son's friends have all completely jumped off of Fortnite and they're only playing this. But even though they're doing that, I'm not going to call this. I don't call anything anything killer. Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. Let them compete. If you sit down and you play this, you go, oh, I really like this more. I'll play this. That's all I need to know. I don't care if
now Fortnite was a PUBG killer.
Yeah, it kind of was. Actually, Fortnite.
And looking back, it is. It's different.
Fortnite's a kind of kill everything killer right now.
Like, yeah, it was.
This game may attain that status. I don't know, but Fortnite is a industry disruptor in a massive way, and there's no way to deny that. And I guess good for them. All right, Brian, let's talk about your time in Mutant Year Zero: Road to Eden.
Oh, I would love to talk about Mutant Year Zero: Road to Eden. I picked this up on the Xbox Game Pass. It's still available. $9, $10, something like that I pay a month. It is a tactical game, kind of like XCOM, but it's got a lot more adventure, in my opinion.
Oh, I almost bought this for PC. I'm so excited to hear what you think of this.
Yeah, this just came out this past year, like 2018, mid-year 2018. It's totally worth it. It's on Steam right now, I think, for like $25-$35 or something like that. But man, I was not expecting to be so enamored with this game. But the characters, you get to play as a couple of characters. You make squads in this technical game. Usually the squads are made up of three. So far, that's as far as I've made anyway. And you start out as two characters hanging out. You have character Ducks, who is a duck, like Howard the Duck. Yeah. He's a human mutant. Right,
they're gross. They are very Howard the Duck looking. Everybody in this,
are very Howard the Duck look, which I love. That it's because it plays to this kind of dark, sick humor that exists. And Borman is the other guy. He's a boar. Guess what? He's a boar. Mm. And you're teaming up with all these post-apocalyptic sick humans who are out. They're called stalkers, and they go out into the zone, away from their home base called the Ark. And when you're out in the zone, you got to fight the ghouls, which are just mutants. They're just mutants.
Hold on a second. Help me here with the story. Are the animals mutated humans, or are they mutated animals and the humans are now kind of their enemy?
Right. The humans are kind of, we're kind of gone, and it's more like groups of ideology. There's humans with animals who are doing one thing, and then there's you know, sort of humans, zombie kind of human people, and animals that are on the other team. So you got two ideologies fighting here. You got one that kind of wants to reconstruct, and the other one that just kind of wants to own and be evil. Mm-hmm. And the bad guys, the bad squad you go up against, you know, they have various characters. Like, they have a pyro, and the pyro drives me crazy playing this tactical game, because it is, you know, you navigate to the area we're going to fight, and then you go into a combat mode, that's where the tactical part really starts.
Yeah, that's the turn-based bit. That's like XCOM or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. So you get in there and you start fighting, and you only move so far, and then that stupid pyro starts throwing his pyrotechnics at you, and you start dying, and it's not a good thing. But the way this game is set up, it teaches you very early on to kind of, you go every area you go into, you scout the outsides of the area, and you take out as many of the bad guys as you can, and then you come back in, you take care of the core group, and that's usually like a three or four guys in one little spot, maybe some dogs, and there's usually like a stupid med bot, and those things kill me too, because there's also bots in this future. And so the bots will, if you don't kill the bots right away, and they're tough, they got some really good armor, they'll start bringing the pyro back. So you'll kill the pyro, and next thing you know, the little med bot will come flying over, and he goes, "I got you, man," and he'll start healing him. The pyro jumps up and he says something snarky, and then he throws a dang bomb on you and you start burning.
I think I'm getting this today. I love how this looks. This is cool.
This game has owned me. I hope you do, because I was kind of, usually I try to play games that I can complete in a week, and I've enjoyed this game so much. It's like about 13 hours worth of gameplay maybe. And I've probably played about 6 or 7 hours so far. I streamed a good bit of it too.
To have a bunch of multiplayer content, or no? Do you do head-to-head?
No multiplayer content. You're taking care of a squad of, like I said, three, and you trade out that third spot with humans that you come along as you go, as you progress through the story, and they'll kind of hop on. They'll have special abilities. You have the abilities to, as you're going along and doing your fighting, you're also collecting scrap metal and broken gun parts. Yeah. And when you collect enough of that stuff, you head back to the Ark, where the elder guy is. By the way, don't get caught up in the elder's office. That dude will pontificate like the Matrix guy. You know what I'm talking about? The guy who was explaining the Matrix at time. Was it part two or three?
The grandpa
guy.
Like,
he won't shut up. Yep. Yeah, yep. That's this guy.
Mm.
Right. Okay. He's all hooked up to some plasma and stuff. And I'm like, shut up. I just want to put my guns together and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun.
Have you played XCOM 2, Enemy Within, or whatever it's called?
I did play XCOM 2.
Does it feel like, I mean, is it a fair comparison? Because that's what everyone says in the chat room. They just said it's like that. Does it feel like that game?
It feels nothing like that. Not
really?
To me. I don't know.
I mean, the combat always, does, I guess.
The combat feels kind of like that, but even then, this game is just so much more organic to me. XCOM always feels very sterile. You know, it's a very direct path, and it's very sterile, and it's just, I don't know. This feels more organic. You're outside a lot, and you're hiding behind, like fences and trees. And if you hide behind a tree, you get better cover than if you hide behind a low cover. There's a lot of good comparisons. Probably gameplay is probably a good comparison on XCOM, but the feeling that you get, I don't know, it feels a lot different to me. I feel like I was always grinding away when I was playing XCOM, like, got to grind this way. I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it, but this feels like I want to go to the next part.
Do you feel like is there a home base you got to keep building up the way you do in XCOM? Because I don't always love that.
No, I don't. That's the good thing. No, not at all. The home base is almost pointless. The home base is probably the weakest part. That's where you have to fast travel back to the Ark, which is where all the people are trying to, you know, recover humanity. And you'll go back there, and there's a bar there, and you go in and you can buy supplies, and you can go to like a repair person, and they'll upgrade or repair your guns or add scopes to your guns as you pick them up as you go along. And it's very simple.
That's why you're, is that why you're picking up, health kits and scrap and all that? That's just to sort of, all right.
Yeah. You have to pick up your health kits, and health kits are, the gameplay on that part is really smart. I feel like I've just got just enough health to do what I got to get done. And so I'm always a little bit cautious.
I got to say, I think I'm getting it. I think this looks really cool to me. Like, it sounds like they've cut out some of the stuff that bugged me about the XCOM series. And by bug me, I mean me, not everybody. I think those games are perfect for what they are. But I don't like the management of the base and expanding all that stuff. And I hate that. And then some people say, well, Scott, that's half the fun because that's all the complexity and stuff. I would rather just have a good on-the-ground experience with my crew. Let me ask you this. If you do an Iron Man mode, which is in these games means when you're dead, you're dead, and you got to start over, no saves or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't do that yet.
If you do, let me ask you this. If somebody, let's say the duck dies, what do you
ducks.
Do? Do you
ducks get a, his name. D-U-X.
Ducks, he dies. Do you get a new character? Do you get another ducks? Like, what do you get? What happens?
No, there's no permadeath. When ducks dies, you have X number of turns. According to whether or not how far he's upgraded, you'll have X number of turns to save him. He'll be bleeding out, is what it'll say on the screen. And if you can finish the battle before he dies in that number of turns, then everybody returns to health, and you're able to go about your business. You also have kits you can use during the battle. You can go over and heal somebody.
Kits. Oh, you said kids. I'm like, yeah, just use your kids.
Just use your kids. Kids, get over there. But there's... The game is pretty fun at the beginning, and I love the progression system because you get some really cool mutations because you get skill points which are applied to your mutations, and that's where the mutation kind of plays in. Mm-hmm. You can do different things like ducks. He gets to a point where he can fly. So he can fly. So you'll be going against somebody, and he'll be able to go up. Like, let's say somebody's hiding behind a structure you can't quite see. Well, ducks, if you've got him upgraded just right, he can go above everything, and he can see down, and he'll, you know, his percentage for shots will increase greatly.
Yeah.
And so you can get some really good advantage points.
I'm into this. I'm gonna play it.
I'm with some people in the chat room. It's like, oh, 35, that's kind of pricey. There's a lot of gameplay here, and if you do have the Xbox, it's super cheap at $9 a month. I mean, it's not even a question.
Oh, you mean for Game Pass? Oh, this is on Game Pass. Okay.
Yes, his own Game Pass. $9.99 a month in Game Pass, and play this thing for a whole month to get that thing knocked out.
Yeah, I'm into what I'm seeing here. It just seems more not only my speed, but I like this, just the look of it. I was worried at first because I'm like, oh, great, pig and duck men. That's no fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a duck man.
I thought it was going to be pretty lame, but they have this great personality that just kind of works. It didn't feel derivative. I was kind of worried. I was like, oh, it's going to be like a stupid Howard the Duck, and they're going to be cracking dumb jokes. And they make some dumb jokes, but it's mostly at the expense of the ancients. That would be us. Apparently, we all died in some kind of zombie apocalypse. And so they're going around, and when they're finding parts, they're finding stuff like jam boxes and iPods. Yeah. And really old iPods. I don't understand that part. I'm like, is this supposed to be an alternate timeline where we all died when, you know, the iPod 1 was out? Because that's the kind of equipment
they call them iPods. They're actually called that.
No, they don't. They don't call them iPods in the game. They call it what do they call it?
Media players or something.
No, they don't even call it a media player. They talk. They talk in all kinds of riddles and call it like some kind of fruit device or something, because it has an apple on it. I mean,
okay.
Some of it's kind of lame, but some of it's kind of funny.
All right. You know, reviews are good. Everything I see on this is people like it. So
yeah. Oh man, I think you would love it, Scott. Okay. I really do.
All right. I think I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to get it on Steam. Because why the hell not?
Get it on Steam.
Yep.
Why the hell not? 35.
All right. I talked on this show not too long ago, maybe a few months ago, about Astroneer. So I'm not going to tell everybody what Astroneer is again, but I did want to talk about it briefly because I've been playing it again. And if you wondered why, well, it's because it exited early access and is now in full 1.0 full release. For a quick recap, you're a little space dude. You go down to a planet. You gather supplies. You print 3D print new stuff. You build cool stuff and then get off the planet, go to another planet and do more of it. Space exploration, a little bit of a lot of terrain deformation. So if you want to dig a giant cave and find some untold treasure down there, you can. If you want to fill that hole back up with earth and pat it off and make it flat, you can. You got this like cool gun on your side you can pull out anytime and just grind stuff up. That's how you collect materials like resin in the early parts of the game, more exotic stuff later. You take it back to your little camp. You build out your camp, build better technologies. Eventually, you can build rovers and other kind of vehicles to get you around the planet faster. It is a four-player co-op game with, I think I read somewhere that they're looking to add eight-player co-op to it, which it could be crazy. I've mostly played it by myself because it was always in early access and I just never bothered to hook up with a friend that had it. I would like to try more multiplayer, but for me, it feels like a very strong single-player experience as well, which is kind of how I like these games. I like them nice and chill and relaxed. There's weird weather sometimes. You get a hide near pod when that happens. They added a really cool tutorial that was not there in early access, so it's nice to see that in there. The version I'm looking at on YouTube is not the best resolution, but it's looks like it's going to be okay for people watching. Let's see, is it max at 720? Oh, no, I can go at 1080. At any rate, it's really fun. You explore. You got to keep oxygen going. If you don't have oxygen, you're going to die. So you tether oxygen using these tether points that you can create and let your guy go out further and further from the point of where you landed. You always land in a different place. My understanding is none of these planets are randomly generated or procedurally generated. They're just static planets that have been hand-constructed, but you're never in the same place, and they're big, big old planets. So it's not like you're not hurting for something to do. It's got just a cool vibe to it, chill music, kind of wandering around and just taking it easy. There's no combat, really, that I know of. I never got far enough to say if there's any endgame combat, but as far as I know, there's none. There are, things in the world that will hurt you. Certain plants will explode and poison you, stuff like that. There's survival elements, which I normally am not a fan of. I don't like survival games, generally speaking. But this, I like this a lot better than most of those. And again, maybe it's because it's set in space and I'm just a sucker for that whole motif or whatever. But I'm really having a good time with it and would highly recommend it. And the main thing is just to let people know it is out of early access. This is available currently only on PC, as far as I know. I don't know if there are console versions, actually. I don't actually know that.
I don't see anything about that, but I'm loving the look of this.
Oh, yeah, very low poly count, trippy. Yeah. Cartoony in a way, but more like, I don't know what to compare it to. What's a good comparison? There's other games, obviously, that are a lot like this art style.
Right.
Simplified, but not in a...
It kind of reminds me of like Subnautica or something, but not... Not
similar, yeah. I like those two games in the same way. Because they're both kind of chill and exploring, and it's just more of a
exactly.
Like... Me, and I it's get you to go against, chill
it's,
out.
It's you against the environment. It's not really you against evil beings.
Yeah, yeah, and I like that. The tutorial kind of gives you everything you need to know. There's some... And I thought this in early access, but there's some wonky interface stuff that I think could be better. Nothing they can't fix, just by tweaking it over time. They appear to be very dedicated to this. It was in early access for a good 2 years, and they were always updating. They were very reliable in that regard. So they, people felt like they were all, into this idea of continually building on the game and making it better. So I see no reason why they would stop now. But it's just a cool little weird experience, and the terrain deforming stuff is really awesome. Like, the tech is super cool, and you just feel like you can do anything, sort of. As long as you've got oxygen, you can kind of do anything. So go check it out. Out of early access, available now, 1.0, done.
It's getting great reviews, except for just recently, like in the last couple of days, they released a new end-user agreement, and there's some stuff in there that people are not happy about.
What'd they say? Some lawyer put some garbage in there, or what? What happened?
Well, they just gave themselves a little wider breadth to work with themselves, including collecting information from you to target ads. And one person is saying, I haven't read the agreement myself, but I'm just looking at the comments now. A person is talking about Anything that you make in the game, it belongs to the developers, and they can reuse it in any way they want.
Yeah, but what can you make in the game that the game?
That's what I was curious. I actually saw some. I saw some battle stuff in one of the shots where somebody was playing. It looked like almost like a Rocket League type of game. So I don't know if there's some kind of.
No, I didn't know you could even mod the thing. I had no idea.
Like I said, I'm not an expert on it. This was just me reading the bitching on the Steam on the Steam store.
Well, I'm checking the Reddit doesn't have. Let's see. I'm just looking. The Reddit doesn't seem to have much in this regard. So I wonder if this is one of those, you know, Steam review bomb days where everybody decides to jump on the bandwagon.
It was. That's how I noticed it, because it says high volume of negative reviews detected. And it looks like most of them are worried about the selling to the third-party companies.
Yeah, I can't find anything in here on Reddit. That surprises me. All right, well, I'll have to look that up. Who knows? Some freaking... some lawyer upstairs in the third floor.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I think we ought to put this clause in the end user license agreement, and then gamers revolt.
Everything looks good. Let's put this in here.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. That does happen. Well, anyway, it's cool, and you guys should check it out. Brian, what about Revolve 8?
Revolve 8. So is it Revolve 8, or is it Revolve standing up infinity symbol? Oh, Mobius strip.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe because like
there's no Revolve 7, so I don't know. Anyway, this game is from Sega. Remember those guys?
Oh yeah.
I picked this up. I got a notice on my Android. It said, "Hey, you signed up for the early access of Revolve 8." I'm like, "I did." I'm like, "Okay." So I picked it up. So it's got a little bit of deck building. But it's not all deck building. It's partial deck building so that you can go to a battlefield, basically like a little board, and battle with characters. Just sending your characters one after the other, don't worry, is more mobish than it is tower defense. You don't set stuff up. So you're kind of just sending your guys, you build your deck, and you send your little characters across the screen. What kind of characters, you ask? You didn't. Fairy tale characters. These are all anime reimagined anime characters, including my favorite, which is this incredibly buff king who's an emperor. Excuse me, he's an emperor with new clothes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole backstory character. Is he's that emperor new clothes, but he's happy that he is naked. He likes to show off his body and. All the dialogue is spoken in this excited anime voices. Mm. There's plenty of subtitles to read from. Mm. There's league matches, which is where you get most of your gameplay, or you can play the story mode, which I've done a pretty good bit. I think is kind of, I kind of like the writing with how they've given Red Riding Hood this backstory and what's going on in the world where they're at. The world they're in is this, is it Imagoland, I think is what they called it. And so it's just full of all these fantasy characters.
Oh, Red Riding Hood. Look at her, dude. She's all decked out.
I love the Red Riding Hood because she has this huge, giant hood that is just, you know, it's a wolf. It looks more like a fox, but it's supposed to be like a big giant.
Yeah, because she killed a big bad wolf and put it on her, made a coat out of it.
And then she skinned that thing and put it on top of her and said, "Let's go, let's battle."
Damn straight. You know what this looks like? This looks like a clan or Clash Royale to me, gameplay wise. You're just sending minions and playing cards. Yeah.
You nailed it. That's pretty much it. But I think to me, where it really shines is the dumb story. I spent so long just reading what the emperor has to say, talking about his body and how the people appreciate his body, and just is just insane. The backstories and some of the character designs are crazy, over sexualized ideas of people.
Yeah,
this is like that middle of the night kind of anime kind of stuff, you know, where it's like you got some guy with ripped abs and his torso is way longer than it's supposed to be, and you can almost see his pube hairs. It's gross.
Oh, geez. All right. Hey, Sega published this. That's crazy. Says yeah, right here, that's Sega. What I said. Yeah, Revolt 8 by Sega. Well, at least published and maybe even Revolve made. 8, but yeah. Revolve 8. Right. I love their tagline here. Subscribe for more games. You've only got one chance. Use it.
So each of the battles is like a 3-minute strategy game.
Yeah.
And you're going against your opponent who has three towers. They have two peripheral towers and then one in the center that has a higher hit count. And you just kind of just keep cranking those guys out. Every time they're able to spawn, you just kick them across the screen. And they've got some pretty good balancing going on too. If you go against certain characters, it's best if you use smaller characters who are a little faster and are able to take out the big characters. So it all works on different lanes too. So there's like the lanes are kind of loose. Mm-hmm. There's really three lanes, but there's probably like eight lanes really, or maybe not.
Oh, I see the king now. This king's got almost like a boner thing going. What's his deal?
The king is hilarious. He's wearing some kind of inner tube thing. And it's got like a duck head or something. It looks like a hood ornament is what it looks like. It looks like he's got a hood ornament coming out of his crotch is what it looks like.
Yeah, this looks real dumb in a kind of a fun way.
It is terrible, but it is so much fun. It is the worst kind of trash you could possibly imagine. And they had this for the iOS. They got this for the iPad, which I think would probably be a little bit better because it's a little bit busy. The characters have a lot of detail and the screen's really busy. I've been playing on my Android phone, which is like an 8-inch screen, I think. And I think it would definitely play better on like an iPad Pro or something.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm actually more curious because Sega's behind it because Sega makes some pretty decent strategy titles for PC and stuff now. They do they own that Total War series, and those are always good.
Yes, yes. So I'm telling you, man, load it up, and you will hate it and love it all at the same time.
Okay. I like a little hate, simultaneous hate and love. That's what I'm all about. All right, a quick note. This is not necessarily a recommendation yet, and I'll tell you why, but some months ago, I'd mentioned that I picked up a game called Spaceborne, another space game. And I picked up Spaceborne because I liked kind of some of the stuff they were doing, but it was very early, and it was clear they had a lot of work to do. It felt more like alpha than beta. It's in early access. I thought, well, give it a shot. Didn't love it. Felt it was a little too clunky. Said to myself, I'll check back on this later, but for now, I'm going to do a refund. And I did. I refunded it.
No.
Then it showed up on sale like a week ago for like 10 bucks, 11 bucks. And I said, you know what?
You can't buy this again, sir. No, sir. You cannot buy this again.
They don't
sir.
Care. They're happy to have me do it again. So I did it again. I installed it. Sure enough, they made a ton of improvements. And I think that game has huge potential. I think there's a lot of really cool stuff going on there. However, I don't know what to do about it. I should go complain on the forums or on Reddit. But I got to this point in the story or a story mission where my ship is supposed to be waiting for me at the end of this long. I'm on a giant ship and my little ship is inside the giant ship. I've landed in there. I've docked in there.
Right, makes sense.
I've done the business I'm supposed to do. Now I'm heading to get back into my ship and there's an invisible wall where I was with these other people. I can't go back there. And then down this hallway, a couple of guards who you can't talk to and they don't do anything. And at the end of the corridor is supposed to be my ship on this platform. And the platform's there. No ship. My ship is gone. I literally, and because it's a story moment, I can't do anything. I can't even escape out of it.
Man.
The only way to get out of that game is to control alt delete or right click it and get out that way. There's no,
right.
I'm stuck in this horrible place of no ship. Story point has to finish. The script is stuck. I can't do anything. Yes, it's early access, but I think I'm going to lose my save. Like,
yeah, that's a game breaker right there, man.
I'm pissed. So anyway, I'll talk to them and see if there's maybe a way around it, and maybe there is. But
I can eat my ship.
Yeah, the combat is really good, and that's what I like about it. The space combat is fantastic. It feels like a first-person shooter in a way. So it's less technical than, hardcore space sims where it's like, I better pull the throttle back, make sure we don't overdo it on the shield modulator. Like, I like a little simplification in that regard. And this game knows that. And I feel like they got some cool ideas. It's all Unreal Engine. Some of their artists could use a little work, but the actual engine looks really good, lots of cool effects, right, and right. The dogfighting feels real good. The voice acting is horrendous. I'm going to play you a little bit. You want to hear a little bit of the voice acting?
Please, give me some.
Okay, here's a little. Hold on.
I had hoped that war was a thing of the past, but here we go again.
Okay, that's a little bit. How about this one? Hold on.
Nothing's going.
No.
It's so.
No.
Everybody.
No. Hold on. Sorry. I know I got these.
Trainee tea taster Patrick's.
No. I assume if I was. No.
Because of.
No.
There was no.
No.
The computer is ready.
No. No.
Here we are.
Now, where is it?
I can't take the ship into combat with a crew of raw recruits who have never flown in space before.
It's that kind of thing.
I would play that game.
You'd play it?
Right there. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Maybe there's more. Hold on.
Most?
No.
That was...
No.
You don't mean me.
I can't find the other one.
This will be the last warning.
No, that's not it.
I would not play that game.
Anyway... It's Spaceborne, and it needs some work, but I kind of have some feelings for it, so that's just the way it's going to be. All right, should we play Guess My Game? Should we do it?
We should totally play Guess My Game, but first we got to say last week's game, which I totally couldn't remember at the time, and I found it later on. Mm. It was Wario Land 3.
Oh, Wario Land 3 on the Game Boy.
Right.
Right? Isn't that what there, that's
that
from?
That's correct, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Wario, because he was never... You know what would have given it away if he had the voice he has now, but he didn't have it back then. But back then he was like, am I going to win, and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't do that in the old stuff. So anyway, all right, here's your theme.
It's a me, Mario!
Here's Brian's. You said this was submitted by a listener earlier, right?
Yeah, Adam Wallosis.
Okay.
Adam Wallosis.
That didn't sound real. Sounds fake.
I can't say it right. Sorry, Adam.
Wait. All right, I'm going to say that sounds Japanese.
That should, yes, that's where you're going. That should be hitting you right about there. There's okay. The sounds that would definitely turn you on.
I heard some yelling in
how
there.
How about if I told you this was an online role-playing game?
Oh, okay.
Does that help any?
No. Well, okay, let me try. Online role-playing game, like an MMO kind of thing? Like a massively multiplayer deal?
No, this is a little bit older than that. No, this was it came out in 2000.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Developer Sega.
Oh, is it Virtua On?
No.
Sega, early 2000s.
Dreamcast.
Oh, the skater one.
Yeah, Jet Set dude. No,
Jet
it's not
Set
the
Radio, not Jet Set Radio.
No,
God, I don't know. Phantasy Star Online.
You got it.
Someone in the chat cheated. I have to admit, I saw those. John from Seattle.
Got
it.
You got it.
All right, Phantasy Star Online. Oh yeah, dude, I had that game. Why don't I remember that? Because I had it on the GameCube. I think
I didn't play it. I didn't play it long enough to have it memorized.
Maybe it was PS2, but I had it on one of those consoles, and I liked that game. Phantasy Star is cool, man.
It was probably on the GameCube.
I'll tell you what, Phantasy Star does not get the credit it deserves for being the forebearer of something like Destiny or Warframe. Like, those games are way more advanced, obviously, but they kind of took that co-op, let's the four of us go do a thing, let's get all the loot, come back to the base, go back and do some more, I have better weapons now, that guy dropped a cool helmet, like... That's a very...
It was the hotness game. Back in the day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I loved it. That game was great. So yeah, anyway, that was a fine game. Very addictive, Tondragosa, I agree completely. A nice one, Brian. You pulled that one right out of your butt. Oh no, you got it from
I didn't pull it out. Yeah, Adam did send that to us.
All right. I'm going to give you one here that is in the same era. That may help you, okay?
All right,
same era of consoles. Here we go.
Kingdom Hearts or something?
Nope. It has that vibe, doesn't it? But it's not Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, it does. Very Kingdom Hearts vibey.
Here in a sec, you'll hear more thing.
Now, if I can play in Donkey Kong Country.
All right, any guesses?
Donkey Kong Country.
No, incorrect.
That second part, it kind of had that vibe to it.
Well, it has Mario in it, so there's a hint.
No, it doesn't. It has Mario in it.
I'll say, let's see if I can help you down the road. It's way
It can't be Sunshine, right?
No, it's way different than the normal Mario game, let's put it that way.
Hmm.
And they've only made a handful of these, and they were all awesome, except the newer, the 3DS one wasn't that great. But everything previous to that, especially the GameCube one. And I'll say that the word door is in the title.
Door is in the title?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I should be able to get this. This should be so easy. I mean, how many games do I know that has Mario in it, has door in the title?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Door?
Door.
In the title?
Yeah. Do you give up?
Yeah, is it Paper Mario Door?
It's you're close. Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. Or I should I should say it this way.
Right.
Paper Mario : the Thousand Year Door. There's no and.
That's right. I knew there was something with Paper Mario that had door in it, but I couldn't remember that title.
That game was so
good.
Oh my gosh, dude. I loved that game so much. And that is why the 3DS game was so disappointing, because they went a different way. It just wasn't the same. They took the RPG elements out of it, because it really was like an RPG game. It had this great turn-based combat. It's like the Mario and Luigi turn-based games, which are excellent on handhelds. Boy, I hope they're working on something cool like that for the Switch, because I love those games so much. Oh my gosh, they're some of my favorite Mario games, and I love all Mario games, but these are just amazing. So anyway, there it is, Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door.
Paper Mario.
That's the one. Wait, you already did Fantasy. Oh, that's you typing in there. Never mind.
Yeah, I was typing that. It was asking what the game was, Brian. So I said, Fantasy Star Online.
It's totally fine. I understand. We are now going to take a look at a news story for the week, and that is this. February is a strong month for action games. Nobody saw this coming exactly, but just for funsies, let's look at the big hits of February. We've already got out. We talked about Apex Legends. Big deal. It turned out to be a big deal.
Big deal.
Bigger deal than anyone thought. Also, number two, Far Cry New Dawn, which you get on... let's see, what day is it? Do we get that? Fourth? No.
It's yeah, it's soon.
Sorry, 15th.
It's very
15th,
soon.
15th, yeah. So this weekend, this Friday.
Yeah.
You get yourself
crazy.
Far Cry New Dawn. I think I've got a code coming.
New Dawn, I'm heading down to the Red Box.
Yeah, down to the Walmart. To get the red box. Yeah, you should get that. For Xbox One users, finally, Crackdown 3. Oh, yeah, baby.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's this weekend also, you know.
Oh, really?
Crackdown 3. I would, if I had an Xbox, I would totally get that game. But I don't, so I won't. For now. Number four on the list, Anthem. Also on February 15th and the 22nd. It's kind of complicated. If you pre-ordered or a part of EA Access, whatever it's called, or Origin, whatever it is. The PC version and the console version is different name, but whatever it is. And you get early access to that. But yeah, February is your month for that. For the general public, though, 22nd. So you're getting Anthem coming soon, BioWare, EA, all that.
That's the one I'm most excited about. That was the one that makes me tingly.
Yeah, I'm interested. I need more of my friends that I trust to play it and decide whether I should get in there or not.
Right.
You got February 22nd also is the day that Metro Exodus comes out, famously on the PC, and to Valve's chagrin, it is exclusive launch window in the Epic Store. So there's that. Trials Rising from Ubisoft coming out on the 26th. That's for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, Nintendo Switch.
I have not seen this one at all.
I like the Trials game, so I'm excited about it. I think it'll be good. Big month. It's just not, it's unusual for February to be a big deal. And so
it is.
There it is. Hope you're enjoying one or more of those games this month. I guess you're only enjoying one because the rest start coming out next week or this week. There you have it.
I'm enjoying the Apex Legends.
It's real good. You got to enjoy it. It's real good. All right. Should we do an email? I think we should.
Oh, we should do an email. If you have an email, do an email.
Yeah, we got one right here. This is Helldown is his name. Helldown.
Helldown.
I don't know what other direction you'd go. He sent an email to boopshow@gmail.com and he says, "Hey guys, love the show. Question for you. What's your least favorite thing you've ever had to do in a video game? Thanks. Keep up or keep on keeping it. Helldown," he says.
Oh yeah.
Least favorite thing I've ever done in a video game. I kind of thought I had this worked out in my head earlier. I really hate escort missions. I hate them. I hate them.
You said it before. Yeah, yeah.
But I'll give a more recent example. I did get a chance this week. I can't talk about it, I think, because at the time it was a closed beta, so I don't think I'm allowed to say much, but it's not news that it was out there, but people are playing the Division 2 in beta form. I played the Division 2 beta. Really like what I saw. I like Division 1 quite a bit. I think that game evolved to be really rad. So the problem I'm going to describe is actually a problem with the old Division, and I hope the new Division doesn't do this as much. But I would go into an area, and maybe this is a Destiny problem too. It's a lot of games. I don't like going into a place where I know there's going to be a big fight, take out 100 henchmen, just about die doing it, then in comes a giant boss, fight, die. Then right. Then when I come back in, I don't get to come in mid-fight. I have to come start that entire sequence over, and I hate doing that.
Ooh, yeah.
I hate that feeling. I know that's like raiding and WoW. It's like a million other things. I know there's very different versions of this problem, but in there in particular, it just feels like you do so much work to get to the guy that you just wasted all that time. Whereas side missions, if you've taken out a bunch of the henchmen, you'll go right back in and they're still dead. And you can get right to the business again with the big baddie. So I don't know if 2 will have that problem as much, but it was one of the things that drove me crazy with that. And other games like it. I don't want to throw all this heat at that series because I quite like that series. But I suspect that there are plenty of video games we could list that have that problem. All right, so that's me. What's your least favorite thing you ever have to do in a video game?
The thing I hate the most in video games is it's almost at a design level, and I don't know if I can really criticize anybody for doing it, but I can't stand when I get to an area where I have to fight something. This happened in the game that I love this week, Mutant Year Zero.
Yeah.
If you get to a certain area and you haven't leveled up in the right way to be able to face what you're fighting, and you can perform perfectly with your characters at that point to try to win the battle and still just keep losing over and over and over again, and then discover you got to go back and do a couple of stupid little things that you didn't want to do to begin with, just so you can level up just by inches and then go in and finally win just barely by the skin of your teeth. So it's kind of the same thing. It's that backtrack thing. It's like, you know, I'm here. You know, I don't make me go back and try to find what I missed.
You know what it is? It's dudes in their 40s. We don't want to do that anymore. It's not that it isn't a viable way to make a video game. It's just that when I was 16 and I would play games where this would happen, it was cool because I had the whole weekend to waste. And, you know, screw my parents. I didn't care what they wanted me to do. I was going to sit and play this. Like, you're in a different headspace. Nowadays, it's like, I got stuff to do. I have places to be. I got to make a phone call. I got to do this. Hey, I got time for to get in this game really quick. Oh, you're going to make me start all over after I died because of whatever reason? F you, game. Not playing you anymore. Like, I think there's some of that going on, you know?
Yeah, I think so, too. There's definitely, I just don't got time for it. And, you know, I don't get mad at a game if I go up against a really hard if I go up against a really hard group, and if they want to randomly make the encounter harder or less harder,
right,
just by random chance that I might get through. Because sometimes I'll fight the same fight, even though if I just barely lose, I'll fight it 3 or 4 times, thinking that, you know, statistically speaking, maybe this is set up so that, you know, it'll be a little harder. So it's kind of like a kind of curve. Maybe a few battles will be a little harder, and some will be simpler.
Mm-hmm.
But when you perform perfectly time and time again, and you still can't get past that area, it's just like, ah!
I think that's why WoW gets away with it, because with raiding, there's 25 of you, and you're all stoked to be there, and there's something about, all right, let's go again. Like, there's a different vibe to it, but if it's a game where you're, like, stuck in a story, or like I'm only going to run in Spaceborne. There's probably some buggy way to get out of the bug I'm having. I don't have time to find out what it is. I'm just like, dude, freaking tell me what door to go through. Show me the ship you said was there, or we're not friends anymore. Like,
you know how many games there are right now, Scott? Do you have any idea the plethora of games I have at my access? And it's not because we get game codes sent to us, because we do.
Yeah.
I haven't played a lot of game codes lately. Most of us have been through these, you know, these services. It's a crazy time.
Yeah.
And between Humble Bundle and the Xbox Game Pass, and I also had just got off doing the, well, I got the PlayStation Plus, so I get couple of like two or three games there every month.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, I was doing their service for a while, the PlayStation Now, and it's just like I've got way too many games, dude, for me to be that simply
focused. It's an embarrassment of riches.
It's crazy.
Choice paralysis, man. There's so many things vying for our attention. It's both a great and confusing time to be alive, and you know, good luck with even just the things that are vying for your time outside of gaming, like Netflix, like Hulu, like every other streaming service trying to entice you in to spend time with them. Like, sometimes you just got to go read a book. And those are trying to get
sometimes.
Me to do that. I do, too. I've been trying to finish this fantasy book forever, but I keep getting pulled away by some game I'm into. Or sometimes you just need to go shut all the screens out, plop down, read that. Well, I guess mine's on a Kindle, so it's still a screen, but a different kind of screen.
Dude, I go old school. I turn all the lights off, bring out a little candle.
Oh my gosh, look at you! Like
I read by candlelight.
Freaking paw on the
right.
You're gonna call me.
Paw, bring me my shirt. Somebody close that window. There's a draft.
Gonna call me half pint. Send me into town to get some wheat or something. Well, anyway, that's your deal, and we appreciate the email. Thank you very much for that. Helldown, if that is indeed your real name, although
that's a good question.
It is. It's a great name though. That's it for the show. If you do hang around here for a minute, we're going to give away some game codes because we haven't in a while. We want to give some people some games. You guys want to win games? I know that you do. In fact, I better log into that Nightbot business right now. That way,
Nightbot.
They're already counted. So you want to say something in chat shortly. Not quite yet. Hold on. Yeah. Authorize. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Giveaways. Here we go. Okay, you can start saying something in chat that will make you eligible to win something. If you're unsure if you got in just now,
eligible.
Do it again. It was about 5 seconds ago that you had eligibility. So we want you to be able to win some stuff. So this is only a little thing we do for live listeners. Sorry, everybody at home, but maybe that'll encourage you to show up here on Monday afternoons at 3:30 Mountain, 5:30 Eastern to win some games while you hang out with me and Brian. Frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. And on Twitter, you can find us at Boopshow. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And you can find more shows like this at frogpants.com. Oh, and don't forget our Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian, any final thoughts before we go?
I'm looking forward to all the mini games, and I'm going to beat you at Apex. I don't know how.
We'll be on the same team, and you'll beat me. I see how it is. You'll take my little death card and not turn it in, and go win yourself.
That's
how you'd beat me.
Has anybody seen my ship?
That's gonna do it, everybody. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.